the strength to keep going. And this past year, I had a little bit of a setback physically, but praise the Lord, it passed very quickly. And the doctors say I can travel again, and not only nationally, but internationally as well. In the Sunday school class, I mentioned that I have been invited back to Argentina, where we spent 12 years, and then I made many visits over there after we came back, to keep a check on the Bible Institute that I directed in Buenos Aires. And they're going to celebrate their 70th anniversary, and they want me to come for that occasion. So pray for me. This will be in November. That's their springtime down there. It took us a little bit of time to get used to celebrating Christmas at the hottest time of the year, down below the equator. And it just didn't seem to be the kind of Christmas we grew up in. But the school is continuing all these years. It's not in Russian any longer. It's in the Spanish language. But it has a tremendous impact upon the four countries, and that is Argentina, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Brazil. So remember me in prayer as I make plans to go there, and that I'll be in good shape to be able to go down there at that time. I wasn't able to get over to Ukraine and to Russia in June, July, as I normally try to do. Part of it was to get a doctor's okay, and then the second was the problems that they have there politically at the moment. And so I was a little apprehensive of going there. However, they tell me that the western part, the central and western part of Ukraine, why, everything is normal over there. Life goes on. The churches keep functioning as they have before, so that there will be no problems for the future, we hope. However, when it comes to the northeastern part, do pray about the situation over there. We were at Gull Lake Bible Camp, Bible and Missionary Conference, all of last week. And our goal was to raise funds for the churches in Ukraine who are hosting, actually helping the refugees and the displaced people who've had to flee their homes. Those that fled from Crimea, didn't want to remain there after Russia took it over, and then many that lived in the northeastern section along the Russian border because of the war that's going on over there. And so they have come into central and western Ukraine, and the churches have been trying to give them not only a place to stay. Like, for example, one of the churches, the Vinnytsia Church, besides their church building, they do have a Bible Institute next to the school. So they are permitting these refugees and giving them a spot to live in the dormitories of the Bible Institute, and they're feeding them as well. Well, these churches just don't have the money to do this for a very long period of time. And so they've appealed to us to help them out. And so our goal at the Gull Lake Bible Conference was to raise funds to send to these churches that are taking care of the refugees and displaced people. And we're talking about whole families with little children that have had to flee their homes. They've lost everything. They've come out with just what they have on their backs. Their homes were bombed out. All the possessions were lost. And so they have to start all over again. And we want to respond to the churches that are asking us to give them a hand. So keep praying for that. And if the Lord does put it upon your heart, we do have a special fund at the mission, and the literature shows that. By the way, I have literature there in the back. You help yourself to it, and you can read more about the latest developments in the ministry, not only in the countries of the former Soviet Union, but in other countries as well. And one of the countries that we are featuring is Israel, because something exciting has happened. We have reopened our ministry in Israel because of all the Russian Jews that have returned to Israel now. And there are quite a few believers amongst them. So they have started up Bible study groups. And I'll be sharing more as I go along about this situation. And the literature over there, you will not only read about what's happening in Ukraine. There's a special Insight magazine has an article on the situation in Ukraine. And then also we have another article on the situation in Israel. So please help yourself to that. And if you sign up to pray for the mission, there's a sign-up sheet. You can help yourself to either Much Prayer, Much Power, or Peter Dynamite's life story called Peter Dynamite. And if you knew Peter Dynamite personally, you would know why the book is named Peter Dynamite. Because he was dynamite. He was very dynamic when he preached. He made a terrific influence on my life as a teenager when he came to our church. So do help yourself. And then, for those of you that don't have this, why, take my prayer card, slap it on your refrigerator, and that way, every time you go there to eat, you're going to remember a prayer for me at the same time. So please take care of that as well. Okay. Now, to bring you up to date on what is happening in Ukraine. The country of Ukraine is divided religiously. And that's not because of the evangelicals. It has been divided for years and years. The Orthodox Church in Ukraine is divided. That northern area that Putin wants to take over does have Russian-speaking Ukrainians and Russians living there. And they are adherents to the Orthodox Church in Moscow, to the Patriarch of Moscow. The rest of Ukraine, which is like 85-90%, are adherents to the Patriarch in Kiev. And so the church is split, particularly in that northeastern area, to the point that there have been pitched battles between congregations of those churches, because if there is one Orthodox church building in a village or a town, then one group wants it and the other group wants it. And they've actually had pitched battles. We have been asked a number of times, does the Orthodox Church in Ukraine give you a lot of trouble? Well, up until now, we have not had much problems. In Russia, yes. In Belarus, yes. But not in Ukraine. Why? They are so busy fighting each other, the Moscow Patriarch group and the Kiev Patriarch group, that they don't have any time for us evangelicals. And so in the meantime, we can keep working without any interference from the priests. However, that is liable to change. And so pray that we will be up to facing the changes that may come about, because we don't know how this is all going to end politically. Putin has still got forces on the border, and they're moving in to that part of northeastern Ukraine. The churches that we are working with, and we support hundreds of national workers over there. These are church planters, and they are living right in that particular area. Some of them have lost their homes. Some of them had their cars destroyed. Their ministry, of course, has been uprooted, and they're wondering what next to do during this time. Some of them have sent their families, their children, down to safer areas in central Ukraine, to Kiev and the west, and remained over there to take care of their flock, to their church family. But it is a problem, and it is a very serious problem. We are not only endeavoring to help them with food, clothing, other supplies. The children will have to be starting school now. They will need help since they've lost everything in their homes. They will need help for school books and supplies as well. So we are trying to help them out as much as we can from this end as well. We are thrilled that since the collapse of the Soviet Union, we have been able to open up work in so many different countries. A couple of years ago, I was in Tajikistan and Kazakhstan. These are Muslim countries. And yet, they are not as fanatic, because for years they were under communism. A good part of the population are atheists. Stalin and the Communist Party were telling them there is no God. And so many of the people in the Orthodox Church, many of the people in the Muslim religion, lost their faith completely. I would visit mosques during the days of communism, and the mosque would be completely empty. In the synagogues, you would find a group, a small group of elderly Jewish men, usually over 65 years of age. So their work was very weak. But with the Muslims, the mosques were museums, beautiful buildings, no religious services going on over there. They'd become atheists. Today, because of the radicals coming from Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, coming across the border, stirring the people up, they are beginning to become involved in their religion again, particularly the younger generation. The older, the parents have very little interest in their past religion. But the younger generation is being caught up in that. And so we are trying to reach that particular generation. When I was in Kazakhstan and Tajikistan, I was thrilled to see that all of the leaders in the churches there are no longer Russians or Ukrainians who lived in that area and were the pastors and the leaders of the churches. Now they are nationals. They are Kazakh people. They are Tajik people. They are Uzbek people that are leading the congregation. It has been our thrill to be able to establish schools for training leaders. In Kazakhstan and Almaty, there is a Bible Institute. In Tajikistan, there is a seminary, and we have actually trained thousands of Christian leaders, pastors, evangelists, church planters in the various countries there. And even if we have to get out because of further problems, political problems, war, etc., the local people, the nationals, will be able to carry on the work. And many of them, when we talk to them and say, well, how are you going to handle this? They said, listen, if our parents and we could survive 70 years of communist oppression when we were sent off to Siberia, and many of our leaders died there in Siberia as punishment for their faith, he said, if we survive that, we'll be able to survive whatever Satan sends our way. The Lord will help us. And we admire faith and courage like that. So we want to keep helping them as long as we possibly can. can. One of the exciting areas of the ministry lately has been Israel. I say, well, why should you become involved in Israel if you're a Slavic organization? Well, the point is that Israel has accepted, there may be as many as 2 million people from Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, and the other countries of the former Soviet Union. These are Russian-speaking people. It's taking them quite a long time to learn Hebrew. Many of them, the younger ones who got an education there, changed their names from Slavic names with a Stein on the end or a German ending or Russian ending to Hebrew names. And I understand that there are a lot of former Russian Jews who are in government today in Israel. They've gone through persecution, and they're willing to face the persecution that they now have in Israel and with the fighting, especially in Gaza, at the moment. But what has happened is this. One of our seminary directors, Oleg, graduated from our Odessa seminary. And he went then to head up the Bible Institute in Almaty, Kazakhstan. He was from Kazakhstan originally. He himself is partly Jewish. His wife is Russian. And after directing the Bible Institute there for a number of years, he came to us and he said, you know, because of my Jewish background, the Lord has been speaking to me about going to Israel and working there as a missionary to the Russian-speaking people who have gone there, who have immigrated there. And I want you to release me from my position here and let me go to Israel and support me over there. Well, it was a difficult decision to make because he was so capable. And we appreciated his work there in Kazakhstan. But we felt if God is calling him and calling him to his own people and it's going to meet a real pressing need, then we can only bless it. And so we told him, go ahead. And 2 years ago, he immigrated to Israel. And what he's been able to do is just phenomenal over there. He began working with the Russian Jews, and these Russian Jews, they haven't become completely acclimatized or made their home in Israel. They feel somewhat alone. And so when he came and befriended them and invited them out to Bible studies, they began coming. He now has 20 Bible study groups meeting, particularly north of Jerusalem, in the northern part of Israel, where the majority of them have settled down. 20 different groups. Many of them have come to know the Lord. Some of them were already Christians when they came out of the Soviet Union, particularly the ones that were a mixed family, where the wife may have been Russian and the husband Jewish, or the other way around. But what is happening today is they're beginning to witness to their neighbors. And I thought to myself, the Lord must have a sense of humor. Here we've been trying to make an impact in Israel for years, and it's not been easy. The missionaries in Israel have had a difficult time. The missionaries from America and from other Western countries. But of all things, here are missionaries from the former Soviet Union, a communist, atheistic country, and they've gone to Israel, and they are making a tremendous impact upon the people there through the Russian Jews that have settled there. So pray for that particular ministry. Besides Oleg, who lives there, one of our other men, Roman Diktorenko, goes there on a regular basis, and he'll go there for 3-4 weeks at a time, and he teaches, and we have started a school for Christian leaders in Israel. So exciting things are going on over there. And I think it's being, well, sort of a preparation for the second coming. With what's going on today, not only in the former Soviet Union, but in Israel, in many of the other countries around the world, in Africa, in China, the persecution of evangelicals, it is quite evident that we are living in the last times, that the Lord may come soon. And we want to do all we can before that happens. I would like to bring to your attention this portion of Scripture that we read in 2 Peter and chapter 3. A verse beginning with verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Here we have the question of delay. And this goes back to the early church. The idea that, well, the Lord promised he's going to come back soon. And even the early church was expecting the Lord to return. Way back, 2,000 years ago. Well, we're a lot closer to that situation now. And when we look at what has happened with Israel, of how they have their own country, how God has brought them from all the corners of the world back into Israel, and that continues to this time. There's still a lot of Jewish people in America. But it could be that many of them will be going to Israel, as well as from other countries. I know that many from South America have gone there. Argentina at one time had a tremendous amount of Jewish people. Many of them have gone to Israel now. And so God is gathering them, as he promised way back in the Old Testament, that he would gather the remnant, and they're there. And so here we are, seeing this prophecy being fulfilled. So we don't know how much time we have. But oh, how important it is to take advantage. Now, here's we have this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. He's not slow. He is patient. He is patient. Why? Because he is not willing that any should perish, but everyone come to repentance. That's why he has stretched it out, prolonged it. And sometimes we get a little antsy, we get a little anxious, we get a little impatient to say, Lord, come. When we see what's happening in our country, how low it's stooped in its morals today. We're saying, Lord, it's time for you to come back. But the Lord says, no, wait a little bit longer. Wait a little bit longer. I think I mentioned to you over here about a friend of mine from Russia. His father had a Bible, the only Bible in the village, and he was able to read the Bible. And he said that in his youth, There were two portions of scripture that he could not agree with. And that was in the 24th chapter of Matthew, where it says, that in the last days, there will be wars and rumors of wars and unrest and all that, but that's not the end yet. But in verse 14, it mentions, but when the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, then the Lord will come. And he felt that that would never happen in the Soviet Union. No way. The Soviet Union was so atheistic, so anti-religious, they would never permit the preaching of the gospel in their land. And then the promise in Acts 1:8 also about going and preaching to the ends of the earth, to all nations, says that's never going to happen here. And then he witnessed and he said, but I live to see the day that the gospel is being preached openly throughout the former Soviet Union. And he happened to go up north. I may have used this story before, but some of you may have not heard it. He was working with the Nensi people, who are the reindeer herders way in the northern part of Siberia. And they gave him the scriptures, and even the shaman of that village became a Christian. They formed two churches there. And then he asked them, this area, this peninsula is called Yamal. What does that mean in your language? And they said to him, Yamal means the end of the earth. And then he realized, God knew what he was talking about. That even in Siberia, in Russia, the gospel is going to be preached to the ends of the earth. And so he said, I had to realize that the Lord knew better than I did, and that the powerful Soviet Union was going to collapse. So the Lord is patient. Now, we pray in the Lord's Prayer. The Lord gave us an example of the prayer. And one of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer is, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our prayer. And that's going to happen one day. But my question is, what am I doing to speed that up? To bring that kingdom down to earth, that people will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. And in verse 12, here we read the following: as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. What am I doing to speed that coming? If God is not willing that any should perish, but that more and more people come to know Him, what am I doing to make that possible? I pray that prayer, but what am I doing to make it reality? Let's ask ourselves that question. I want to be faithful and do all I can. God is patient. He is not willing that any should perish. And He wants me to speed that day of His coming, but by sharing the gospel so that more people will come to know Him. Speed it up. And then we're given instruction on how we are to live during this period as we wait for His coming. And we read in verse 14, so then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. What is my condition? What should I strive for during these days? To live a spotless, blameless, life. To be an example to my neighbors, to my family, to my co-workers, to the kids in school, and that they'll see the difference. Spotless. Now that's asking a lot. Blameless. Something we can't accomplish on our own. We need the Lord.
Go back to Matthew.
That's also in verse 14. At peace with Him. And then in verse 17, we read, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men. Be on your guard. And today, as never before, oh, how the church, how Christians have to be on their guard. You know, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality, because of the terrible sin that was going on over there. It doesn't say that the officials of Sodom and Gomorrah made it legal. It just says that that's the way the people lived. But you know what's happened in America? Our government has okayed, it's a law, our government has okayed same-sex marriage. Our government has okayed abortion. Our government has okayed homosexuality, the gay life. I mean, it's in the law. It's been voted on by leaders of the country. That's going beyond Sodom and Gomorrah. And so what can we expect? Nothing better. And what an opportunity for us as believers to be a witness in this perverse world. I believe God is going to take His hand of protection off of America. I don't know how much longer we have. But in the direction we're going and our government is going, the Lord undoubtedly will take His hand of protection off of us, and we will have more tragedies that will be coming along. But that is prompting us to live a life as Christians in China have to live, and Christians in Russia had to live, and those in Africa, those that are dying for their faith, killed by other religions like the Muslim religion. And then, not only to be on our guard, but it says in verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That during this time, we are to grow, to become stronger, to become firmer, grow in our faith. And the Lord has given us that opportunity. With the kind of churches we have, with the kind of Bible teaching we have, with the seminaries and the Bible colleges we have, we still have a lot going for us. We see in the direction the world is going and the direction our government is going, but at the same time, we still have the freedom to be able to live for Him. And so, let's be spotless and blameless in our personal life before the Lord. Let's be at peace with the Lord. And then, may we be on guard. The false cults and religions that are permeating the world today, and many of them started right here in America, we must be on guard. Some evangelical churches in America here today have slipped as well. They started off well, but we're finding that some of those leaders have gone off on a tangent. And how we must be on guard that we are biblical, that we stay true to the Word of God, And then, as a result of all this, may we grow. May we grow. That is my desire. I want to keep growing no matter how old I am. And I'm getting up there in years. But at the same time, we shouldn't stop. Not until the Lord takes us. So thank you again for your love, for your prayers, for your concern, for your support. I couldn't do it without you. And you help yourself to the books there and to the literature in the back and to my prayer card. And let's keep working together for God's glory. And the Lord may come soon. You know, I sort of suspect it may be in our lifetime. It may be. It could be. May it be so. God bless you.